He said when they were practicing they used clay tablets because they were not going to keep them. Only what was to be permanent was put on papyrus. Jesus and the essences, with the clay tablets it is easy for a student to see how he is forming a word. He sees it in the tablet and tajits the feel of what it is. And it is cheaper, it is easy to make more clay tablets or wax, which can be melted down and redone. But, papyrus, once it is used, that is it. He used a stylus, which was a stick with a sharp point, to write on the tablets. On papyrus you could either use the stylus dipped in ink or a brush. He mostly wrote in Aramaic, which was his native language. At that time I knew nothing about the languages in his part of the world, and I caused confusion when I asked about his alphabet. He had no idea what I was talking about, and it is always difficult to explain in simple terms something that we are so familiar with. It never occurred to me that people in other lands might not use letters as we do. These sessions proved to be very educational for both Katie and myself. He tried to explain that it was not letters but sounds that made up their language. I did not understand what he meant. Later when I began to do research I found that the languages in Sudi's part of the world are vastly different from ours. They use symbols that are similar to a former shorthand. Each stands for a certain sound and the sounds make up the words. He was absolutely correct, and it was little wonder that I couldn't make him understand what I wanted. I asked him if he could read me what he was copying from. During his recitation he spoke several words that were definitely in a foreign language, then he spoke slowly in English as though he was translating what he was seeing. It is part of the commandments of Moses. It speaks of. It says, "The Lord thy God. Thou shall have no gods other than me." We are to not make images of stone, of other gods to worship. And we should honor thy father and mother. And thou shall not kill or steal or commit adultery. There are many of them. Moses was a great giver of law. These are just some of their first ones. He went on and on about them. It was obvious he was reading from the Ten Commandments, but he startled me when he said there were 12 commands -mens. At the time I could not pursue it during that session. Later when I was talking to Sudi as an older man, an excellent opportunity presented itself to ask him about the extra command -mens. I had taken him to an important day when he was about the 12 commandments 40 years old. He was practicing his daily meditation. It makes me feel very good to do this. I feel grounded, like I have a basis to work from. On this day he was meditating to calm himself because it was a very important day. Today I shall be tested and the decision shall be made, whether or not I have merit of the blue band. When Anasin had earned the right to wear the blue band across his forehead, he had attained the rank of master. The test was the last requirement and the culmination of all his years of studying. A person goes through the lessons and he is tested by the elders to find out how much of the knowledge has been amassed, how much understanding is there. A man can have great knowledge and still not have understanding of it, and therefore the knowledge is useless. To be a master, one must have the knowledge and have the understanding of it, of whatever that they are studying, be it law or be it the study of the stars or anything else. You must have understanding in order to be a master. Therefore you are tested by the elders. They shall all question me to find my understanding. Will it be a long test? Quite seriously, not if I fail right away. It could go on for quite a while. But I shall not fail. The answers they shall come. I thought this would be an excellent time to ask about the extra commandments, as this might be a question they would ask him during the test. He sighed and began reciting them for me while counting on his fingers. Their first is, "I am the Lord thy God and thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make graven images." Big sigh, "Honor thy father and mother. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not covet. Another's property. I remember slowly. This is 7. Thou shalt not follow the ways of the path of Baal." He broke down in frustration, and forgot how many he had named. But I had already heard one that I was not familiar with, the one about Baal. I told him this would be good preparation for Jesus and the essence facing the elders. He took a deep breath. I think I'm more nervous than what I. Then totally unexpected, he startled me with a question, "Who are you?" I was taken off guard and had to think fast. I have often wondered how the subject perceives me or if they do at all. Do they see me as an actual person or am they just a little voice buzzing in their head? On occasion their answers seem to suggest that they see me but I am a stranger to them. During one session a subject saw me dressed as the people in his culture, but he warned me I was asking too many questions and this was dangerous. For the most part, I think of myself as just a voice. I think in this instance Sadi picked up on me differently because he was meditating. This may have made him more open to my presence. In the past, whenever this has happened and this question came up, I merely told them I was a friend and this answer has been sufficient. I don't understand why, maybe just the reassurance that I mean them no harm is enough. I asked him if it bothered him to speak with me. S, it makes me curious. You are here, yet you are not here. I think you are not from now. It is. You are here in spirit, but not in body. I had the weirdest feeling that maybe, through some process we did not understand, I had been projected backward through time and was appearing to this poor confused man. It was a strange feeling, knowing somehow you were existing in two places at once. But essentially, wasn't that what Katie was also doing? I must be careful not to disturb or upset him, so I tried to calm any apprehension he might have so we could continue. D, does it disturb you? S, a little. Are you my master? D, oh, I don't think I'm that high. No, I'm more like a guardian. I'm very interested in your life and what you are doing. Would that be acceptable? I mean no harm at all. S, suspiciously, you mean no harm? Feel a warmth about you, but some people who are very knowledgeable can project many things. D, I am interested in your welfare. That's why I ask many questions, because I'm interested in the time and the place in which you live. I thirst for knowledge. The 12th commandment says, yes, I feel very great curiosity in you. I can see an image, but it is as if you are not here. Was it like a dream image? I feel no harm in speaking to those who do not inhabit body, but not all of them are benevolent. I had to try to get his mind off me, so I directed him back to the 12 commandments. He sighed and went back over them again while counting on his fingers. This time he included another, "Thou shalt do only unto others as they would do unto you." This is the golden rule and is not normally included with 10 command soft-ments. I asked about that one. S. It has to do with having memory of if you treat others as you would wish to be treated. For this is what you shall carry forward with you. Was he relating it to karma? D. It makes sense, but we never placed it with the other ones. S. How not? I have heard that the one of the worshipping, not only the graven image, but the one of Baal, that it was tried to be struck at the time of Moses because of the calf. But I have not heard that anyone would try to take this do unto others. I have not heard of this. This would be very wrong. I agreed it was a good law and belonged with the others. During another session I reminded him about the test and asked if he had passed. He was indignant. S, do I not wear the blue band? Of course it got my master's. How could you know pass the test and not become a master? Thus he was at that time a master of the law, the Torah, but he considered himself at 46 to be a very old man. I disagreed, but he insisted, but it is o far an age when that many men have died sooner. Sigh, I am an old man. If a man in his 40s was considered old in that time period, this made me suspect that Jesus was not a young man when he was crucified. In his 30s, he would have been at least middle-aged. Chapter 9, Meditation and Chakras. Exercises for the use of meditation were given to us on two separate occasions. Once when Sadi was a child and another time when he was older. I do not think it is too fantastic to assume that Jesus was also taught these procedures since they were in common use at Quran. As a boy, Sadi said there was meditation time set aside during each day. S, we just sit and we must be very still and must think about the way that we are breathing, and concentrate on it for a while. And when it is under control, you have learned enough that you do not have to think about it. Then you must focus on something. You take an object and put your pointer focus somewhere in the middle of it and become one with it and study it and learn about it. Then you would release this. Once that you become one with it and understand this, you would then unfocus the focal point so that you are no longer in the center but around. So that it invokes everything that is around, surrounding you. I cannot explain it very well. A student is taught to do this when they are nigh 3, 4 years old. Thus the training of the mind was begun at a very young age in Quran. Once during a session when Sadi was an older man, he mentioned that King Herod, apparently the first King Herod, would soon die. He seemed to have received this information through psychic means, and I wondered if others in the Kamasoft-Nitti had these gifts. Sadi was surprised by my question. S, who is not? Everyone has this that I know. It is said that people in everyday life perhaps are not so. Let's see, what? Gifted? But we are taught from an early age to open ourselves up to that is. But it is one ability that needs to be nurtured and developed. Anyone has the ability, but when you reach perhaps age 13 and you have never used this, and you have closed it off, you start a meditation and chakras 95 lose the ability to breach the gap. Because often you have been in the society of others who are headblind. Who cannot hear you, who cannot understand what that you are speaking. And therefore because of high level of intensity, you have locked them out. And when you spend all of your life blocking out, it is very difficult to open up. D, is 13 a significant age? S, it is just a time where that the body is going through changes. It is said that there is a great link between the two. I'm not sure about this. I do not study into this. But this is what I have heard, that when the onset of manhood or womanhood is, it is also when everything opens up. In perhaps greater ways than it ever has before, fool let it. It sounded as if it was connected with puberty. D, then you should have this other ability developing before that age? S, yes. You should at least be aware of it. So that its intensity does not frighten you and does not cause you to close it off. There are many different concentration exercises that may be used. The easiest one is to take something, anything that you are focusing on and use it as a focus. You would set it in front of you and gaze at it and become one with it. And so that as you are focusing, you narrow your attention down to this one point. And when it all becomes focused, you then just release it. He made gestures as though letting something go, throwing it away, and upon the releasing, you will begin to be aware of other sensations that are around you, and you would take note of these. And each time the awareness of these other sensations becomes louder, so that it is as if they have been spoken to you. D, is there any danger linked with this exercise? S, I have never known of any. I would not do it whether there were any interruptions or perhaps rude awakenings. There is no set time. Each time it would perhaps build up until the length was what became comfortable to you. I had talked to him many times while he was meditating. Often he would absent-mindedly rub the center of his forehead with the side of his right thumb, as though massaging. I wondered why that particular area, since this is where the brow chakra or third eye is located. This time when he did it, I decided to ask about it. Tis a habit. It is a method of concentration. It is to focus the energy, your thoughts. It is an energy point. Jesus and the essence, his descriptions will sound very familiar to those who have studied metaphysics. The term energy point will be a good definition for chakra. The chakras are essentially energy points located in various places in the body. They can be mentally and psychically stimulated to help control the health of the body, and to promote psychic abilities and awareness. According to modern teachings, they are located in 7 parts of the body. 1. Crown, on the top of the head where the energy of the body is supposed to enter. 2. Brow or third eye, located in the middle of the forehead. 3. Throat, located in the front of the neck. 4. Heart, located in the middle of the chest. 5. Solar plexus, located in the center of the abdomen. 6. Spleen or sacral, located just below the navel. 7. Root, located near the sexual organs, between the legs. The energy is supposed to enter through the crown chakra and energize each of the chakras in turn as it passes through the body. Finally, the excess is released through the feet. Since he called them energy points instead of chakras, I used his terminology. He said by rubbing that point during meditation it was helping to stimulate it. I was always taught that you should sit very still while meditating. There are different forms of meditation. All meditation basically is concentration. Whether you are concentrating on a point that is here, pointed to his forehead, or whether you are concentrating on a point that is side of yourself. All meditation is a focusing of all of your thoughts and energies upon that one point. I asked if there were any other energy points in the body. He pointed in turn to the different conventional chakra locations, except he had one more than the normal seven. He indicated that there are two in the upper chest area, one on each side. He also indicated one at each knee. I asked about the extra one in the chest area. One is at the heart and there is an other energy point there. It is not open in all people. It is one that has been, for a good deal, lost. Sometimes it is to the side, it depends upon the person. This ish o mine is. There is also one at the back of the head, at the base. He pointed to the back of the head where it is connected with the spine. Meditation and chakras to a great extent it is dangerous to stimulate it. It can cause many problems. But it is there nonetheless. It is important to keep that one unstimulated. Most people would not be able to handle the stimulus of hyphenation. It is too powerful a force. I know of only one person with it open and stimulated, and he is a great mental builder. He is the master of the mysteries. Could this be the same man who could channel the energy into the great crystal and direct it? It is too overpowering for most people. I asked about the one at the top of the head, the crown chakra. It is not necessarily an energy point, but where the energy enters into the body. It is like, feet are not really energy points, they are where it leaves also. I wondered if any of the energy points was more important than the others. They all have equal importance. It depends upon which you want to stimulate, what you decide to do with your life. If you wish for knowledge, the one here, the forehead, would be a good one to stimulate. The one in the throat would be for different health problems, also to do with energy levels and balances. The one over the heart is for the pure energy that radiates throughout the body. And the other one, in the chest area, has to do with your other self's energy and other knowing. How do I explain this? It has to do with the energies in which you control the being able to know things that are unknown to others, through just knowing. It is to do with mental communication. In most people it was closed forever. It sounded as if it has a lot to do with psychic or intuitive ability since it was the one that the majority of people have lost the ability to use. Was this the one that was open at the time of the Kalu? See chapter 15. He pointed to the solar plexus area. This one has to do with the wholeness of self. It is important for balance again. It has to do with the connection between your higher self and your body. It has a great deal to do with this connection and the keeping it together and oneness. He pointed to the two in the abdominal area, the spleen and the root chakras. They are to do with the manhood or womanhood, depending upon the person. So one would be stronger in one. If in a woman you would have a stronger male center, you Jesus and the essence would have emotional problems. Likewise if you have a stronger female center in a man, you would have great problems with identifying yourself as who you are and things of this matter. Could this be an allusion to homosexuality, if these chakras were not operating in the manner they operate in most people? I asked about the method of stimulation of the other chakras. There are different methods of stimulation that work upon different areas. Some of them you would just utilize the inner focus surrounded with light and feel the energy from outside drawing into you. This is probably the easiest way of doing this. There are more complicated methods, but they take years of study. You draw the energy through the top of the head directly to that part. When you begin to feel the tingling of it to know that the energy is there, you would direct it out. And then channel it for a while. And close it off on both ends, by releasing it through the feet. Is there any harm in keeping it going and not releasing it? Overstimulation, yes. There could be great harm, if the person is not emotionally or physically capable of handling the energy. You can generate too much through lack of caution. You must channel it into other areas. D. Can you pass the energy on to another person? S. Oh, yes. This is often used for healing. You would just have to think it toward that person, and it would be up to them to accept it or not. It is not your duty to force anything upon them. It is offered. This is all one can do. If it is not accepted, it is channeled to someone else or released through the feet. It has to go somewhere. D. You said it was dangerous to keep generating it. How could this affect the body? S. If you are not releasing it, you could cause yourself to make your heart to stop, or many other things to cease to function. It is not a game, it is not a toy. D. Then is it dangerous when you teach children to do it? S. No, because a child is more open to the feelings. If it starts to feel like it is too much, the child is willing to pass it on. They are more receptive to this. The control is easier to learn as a child. D. I think now I can understand these energy points better. My teacher didn't explain it as well as you did. In our community, sometimes people take certain things, such as strong drink or meditation and chakras, certain plant substances into their bodies that make them act differently. Do you have such things happening where you live? S. You are speaking of, perhaps when a person drinks too much wine. Those of a community do not indulge in excess. It is not said that they do not drink, for it is very acceptable to drink wine. But anything in the excess is bad. It robs one of will to do this. You are replacing your own will with that of another thing or of someone else, because you are then easily controlled. It changes the flow of the blood, and the breathing also alters, so that more or less oxygen is allowed, depending on what is taken, and would cause differing results. This causes a lot of what you are calling personality change. They would do things in these states that they would never do in a normal, in control, position. D. Does it enhance your ability to hear God if you get together in a group and go inside a building, like a temple or a synagogue? S. Some people need an outward added strength to say, yes, I have heard God. Fu, have faith and you believe. It is as easy to draw upon it alone, sometimes easier, than with a group in sharing. Though there are those who need that sharing, to be able to trust themselves enough to open up, to hear. D. Do you think people need a temple or synagogue? S. Not all. There are those who do, because their faith is not strong enough. D. Do buildings tend to build up vibrations from people? S. They would gain positive vibrations just in the same manner a building can hold negative. If it is a place where many, many bad things have happened, it would have the negativeness. If it is a place where that there was much happiness and much joy, it would also have this. Buildings can have a strength that the person can draw upon. Sometimes it has to do with the place where the building is placed. If it is a point where there is great earth energy, it can help open oneself up. Though it can also be dangerous to those who are too sensitive to open. Then you must block against this. D. How would one find a place like this? S. You must take someone who is open to find them, and would be able to lead you to them. D. If you wanted to build a house, how would you know the right place to put it? Jesus and the essences, you would decide on the area that you wanted it and you would walk and you would find a point. If the ear is one in the area, you would be led to it. If you are open, you would know. And you would feel it. You would feel the energy that would flow through you. It could also be a feeling of peace and contentment. D. Have you ever heard of the pyramids? S. They are in Egypt. It is a structure of art has been built up to where it has a side that is like so. She made motions with her hands, putting her fingers together like the top of a triangle, and each one rises up like this and it has theft sides and it rises up to a point. It has to be of a certain height by certain width. Not so much as they have to be an equal measure, like one would be the same size as the other, but the space distance. Fu, understand what I am trying to say. It must be the same on alpha sides. And the base must. The equation must always be equal. D. What is their purpose? S. To focus power is part of their storehouse of knowledge. The equation, it also says, speaks of distances of the Earth and of the planets and the suns. There is much knowledge that I don't understand. He was very emphatic that they were not burial places for the kings, someone lied. Perhaps this is some great light to keep the knowledge from those who shouldn't know. They are store soft hyphen houses of knowledge. The record is the pyramid themselves. There are other storehouses to have the scrolls that are elsewhere. But this knowledge is in the pyramid themselves. In the way they are constructed and the mathematics of it. Since he was well aware of Moses and his teachings, I wondered whether the pyramids existed during the time of Moses. S. It is said that this was where their beginnings are. This I do not know. For myself, I believe that they have been here much longer than any small kingdom of Egypt. The knowledge is much greater than that if any pharaoh have ever spoken of. D. Do you know how they were built? S. I have heard many different ideas. I have heard that they used slave labor, which sounds impossible. You could not feed the people that it would take to build in this area. I have heard that they were built on the site. That theforms were placed and the dirt was put in and then it hardened and theforms were taken away. This is possible but time consuming. I have also heard that they used the music to raise meditation and chakras them. I know it is possible to use music to raise things. But this is on a grander scale than I have known of being attempted. So I do not know. I think maybe a little oafful or three. Apparently it was a mystery even in their time. I had never heard of the idea of using music in this manner. Could there be a connection with their use of sound as a protection for Qumran? He had supplied a different type of insight about the pyramids, but no real answers. I assumed it would take special people to decipher the knowledge in the pyramids. S. It takes many years to be able to understand them at all. There are those who have this knowledge and they're trying to pass it on. D. Do you know who put the knowledge there in the first place? S. It is said, again, that those who built the pyramids were those of Ur. Harriet had made a list of various terms and names she remembered from books she had read. They were really just jumbled bits and pieces. She asked if he had heard of the Sphinx, and he said it was the guardian of the knowledge. Harriet asked, have you ever heard of the Ark of Ammon? Sadie made some abrupt questioning remarks that were not English. He then corrected her pronunciation and answered, yes, it is the symbol of life. When she asked for an explanation, he became upset. You ask this as if you are unknowledgeable. Yet you have questions form that show knowledge. Why? I'm curious as to how it is symbolized to your people. Do you have a symbol for it? It sounded as if he said, the Ark. I asked him to repeat it and it still sounded like that although I do not know what it means. Harriet, do you have in your writings anything about Horus? S. Yes. He is what among the Egyptians was the first of the gods to walk upon the face of the earth when it was new. It is said that he dot. How do I put this? Mated with the women of the land, and this was the beginning of Egypt. D. Was this before the time of the wandering of the Kalu? S. This is something that comes out of the depths of endless time. There is no way of knowing when this was. It was before the measuring of time. Chapter 10 Sadi's first trip to the outside world. Sadi had been born and raised within the walls of Qumran, the isolated community atop the salt cliffs that surround the Dead Sea. I knew he had not lived his entire life cloistered there, because at our first meeting he had been on his way to visit his cousins in Nazareth. I wondered what he had experienced when he left the community, what his first impression of the outside world had been and what he had thought of the way other people lived. So I took him to that time to find out. He was 17 years old and was making ready to go with a caravan to Nazareth. He had never been anywhere before this. Qumran was all he knew. I had hoped he might go to a larger city such as Jerusalem, which was actually closer to Qumran. But since I had no knowledge of Nazareth either, I thought it would be interesting to ask questions about the place where the Bible says Jesus spent most of his growing years. The caravan was one that frequently stopped alongside the sea to gather salt. S. It is also different to anything I am used to. The caravan is very long, there are perhaps 20 camels, and they are all making lots of noise and squealing. and everything happens at once. I'm a little nervous and excited. D, are you taking anything with you? S, a few things.